Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You are welcome to email me at bruce@brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. That's S like in Sam's, like in Pastor Drew Sams, who is our guest for Teen Rap. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California, for the last 5 years, and he's also pursuing doctoral work through the George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Drew and his wife live in Westlake Village, California, and I am trying to persuade him to take some time off and come skiing with me. Welcome, Pastor Drew.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Boy, this photo you sent me this week of you up in Mammoth, I don't know if you have to convince me that hard to join you. It looks great up there.
Did that not look like I was going up a tidal wave?
It did. It looks like a magazine shot. The lighting's perfect. The day looks great. And there's a lot of skill involved in that shot. So,
well, thank you. I didn't take the shot, but I was the fool who was doing the half pipe in his 50s and going up this wall that is truly gets to be not only vertical but almost inverted at the very top.
Good for you.
It is fun like I can't describe. Anyway, since this is not the ski show, let's talk about how parents are affected by unhappy or troubled children. I think you had a wonderful analogy that you wanted to share with our listeners.
Yeah, great article this week. You know, as I was reading it, and as you were mentioning how you knew a family and even you yourself have experienced what it's like to have your kid go through something that really affects your, as the parent, your emotional state, you know, drains your happiness. It reminded me of a visual metaphor that I like to share a lot, that we can live life either as a thermometer or a thermostat. And a thermometer, of course, we know is one that changes based on its environment. If you put it in a room, it'll tell you exactly what the temperature is. And ultimately, it doesn't change the environment, but it is changed by its environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, that thermostat is one that you put it into a room, and if it's hooked up to the heating cooling system, it actually affects and changes the environment in which it's in. And I think that often we live our lives as thermometers, where whatever situation we walk into, if we walk into a happy room, we get happy. If we walk into a sad room, we get sad. And on one hand, that's good. There's that empathy that we need in human relationships to understand where people are and to come alongside them in their emotional state. But if we're ultimately affected by something so much, I think that can be really unhealthy for us to live as thermometers, just constantly blown back and forth in emotional states by whoever's around us.
Well, as we know as parents, it is very hard sometimes when you have a child that on one level is, say, just troubled, you know, with the typical problems of, say, drug addiction or truancy or bad grades. But then there's a whole other level, which is what happens when you have a child that's just sick or hurt or special needs. That's actually a whole different avenue of this that I hadn't addressed in the column. But it's still the same. How parents respond to their child, whether it's a troubled kid or a kid that just needs extra care and help, is the issue. And I love your analogy. It also made me think of, I often quote Viktor Frankl from his book, The Man's Search for Meaning, and he basically said that the only thing he could control when he was a victim of the concentration camps from the Nazis in World War II was his reaction. He had no control over anything else in his life, including his survival, but he did control his reaction to the events. And on a much easier level, we parents certainly can control our reactions to what our children are doing and not let it destroy the rest of the family or ourselves.
It's so true. And I think in those moments where the situation is really tough for your adolescent child, they need you to be the parent in that situation. They don't need you to be a thermometer. You know, ultimately, what's going to help them the most and maybe even pull them out of it is for you to, well, on one hand, not be a robot and not be moved at all by what they're feeling, but also to be able to give them a bigger perspective, to care them through it, to lead them through it. And it's hard, though. It's easier said than done.
I wonder, in your role as the high school pastor or the youth ministries pastor at Calvary Church, how often you've seen this situation, and if you have any specific examples of it that come to mind.
Yeah, you know, I see it a lot. If there's a crisis that happens, let's say there's a junior at Newbury Park High School or Camarillo High School who ends up losing her father, for example, to cancer. You know, very tragic, very, very hard situation. I've seen some students who, A, don't even know her, don't know the family, who become so affected by it just because they kind of hear it through the grapevine. You know, there's some students I know that are classic thermometers. Whatever's going on in the world, they become, it's almost like they take the weight of it, even if it's something that doesn't relate to them at all, if it isn't something that they're directly involved with, they begin to mope around and they have a hard time focusing. I've really used this imagery to help them go from being, you know, a thermometer to a thermostat.
Very, very interesting. And I, as I said, I hadn't thought about it in regards to a loss like that, a tragic loss that a family might suffer.
Yeah.
I know, you know, from my own personal experience, I lost a brother when I was 5 years old, and he was an older brother, and he was kind of a god to me at the time because there was such a large difference that we weren't competitive. And my family, in their grief, were pretty much left me alone. And I was not given attention or care or allowed to grieve. I wasn't even allowed to attend the funeral because their advice at the time was that would be too traumatic. So needless to say, it didn't provide me any sort of closure, even, you know, in the way that a five-year-old might get it. So my parents weren't doing anything cruel. They just, they were consumed by their own grief and ignoring me, and it certainly did have its repercussions.
Yeah, you know, I know that this would be another topic, but I think culturally we really don't know how to grieve well, do we? We know how to celebrate well, but I feel like we're not really equipped on how to properly grieve. And that can be such a healing and cathartic thing when you're able to go through that process.
Yes, well, that's another topic. I'm
not
sure.
Topic, I know.
Yeah, that's a big topic. I've faced way too much grieving in my life, starting at that point, age five, and it's hard. It's a
yeah.
really hard thing to do.
You know, going back to the column, I was thinking too, I think one of the things that helps people live is thermostats, really being able to kind of help direct the environment around them and for parents to be able to better care for their kids when they're going through something really tough. I think is to have people around you that maybe aren't intimately involved in the situation that they can bounce ideas off. In the beginning of the column, it sounds like this guy was coming to you for advice, and I think things like that really are great for parents to have a network around you that you can not allow yourself to slip back into that thermometer where you get sucked into whatever emotional state your kids are in.
That's why it's actually important to have a network of support. I believe this very strongly for men, because men often don't have that network of support at a certain point in their lives once they've gotten out of school and they're into their careers and have a family. In the case of my friend, he didn't really want advice. He just needed to be heard. And it was he needed someone to be commiserate with him versus judge him. And I could feel that. So I resisted my natural instinct to try to fix it, mostly because I knew that's not what he needed. And I also knew that he tried everything else. And sometimes that's the other thing. Sometimes there's nothing more you can do. And sometimes you've done the best job you can, and you have to let yourself off the hook if a child's just not behaving and you've done everything that is logical. There are bad apples out there.
Yeah, and ultimately, you can't blame yourself, like you said. And I think being able to have that network, like you said, gosh, it goes such a long way. It's very countercultural. You know, we live in a Lone Ranger world, especially men. We see those heroes in movies and on television. It's always kind of that Lone Ranger type. But we need more of that teamwork, that, you know, the Avengers type of comic book hero where there's a team of them, you know.
I'm with you totally, Pastor Drew. We are out of time. Quickly tell our audience where they could reach you and that wonderful new website you have.
Yeah, I've been blogging actually on the topic of these visual metaphors at wewillsinganewsong.com.
Terrific. Pastor Drew, I might add, is a very dynamic speaker in person. If you ever have a chance to attend one of his sermons at Calvary Church in Westlake Village, California, you will understand why I begged him to be a guest on my show.
Yeah, in fact, this weekend and next weekend, I'll be preaching in both those services at Calvary.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to be at Mammoth, so I'll preach in your honor at Mammoth on Sunday.
Yeah, but, that's a good place to be.
That's a ski resort for those of you that aren't local to California. And next Sunday, however, maybe I can join you. And thank you again for being on the Bruce Salen Show.
As always, a pleasure.
I'll talk to you later, Pastor Drew. It's time for another break. This is Bruce Salen of the Bruce Salen Show at Dad's Point of View. We will be back with Jim Scheinberg and Family Financial Matters.
But God bless the child that's got his own. That's got his own.
God bless the child.